Oh my goodness, this nigga's still talking.
Whoa. Hey, what you doing there? You come here often? Me? Well, I'll just do a little thing, you know. Just talking podcasts. I'm Doc Nah. Or Nah. Yeah. Or Nah. Yeah. It's either one. Yeah. But, how you doing today? You doing fine? Did you see it? Did you see it? I think the only thing I got wrong of my picks was the Warriors versus Lakers pick. Pretty sure I picked Nuggets to beat the Suns. I'm just making sure y'all know, all right? We're getting straight into the NBA talk this time. Then we'll jump topics. But first, NBA talk. All right. So I can't get you warmed up there. You're just going to have to get raw dogging it, you feel me? Shout out Gideon. Just got to raw dog it. All right, we're coming in hot. But, I went kind of crazy. I'm pretty sure I picked the Heat over the Knicks. Or at least I hope I picked the Heat over the Knicks. Felt like I picked the Heat over the Knicks. So, I do hope I did want the Heat to lose, though, because I feel like the Celtics would beat the Knicks. But, Celtics versus Heat. And the other, oh my gosh. We'll talk about that shit later, too. But, we'll start with the West this time because we went to the East. All right, so in the West, the Nuggets versus the Suns. The Nuggets dispatched the Suns in 6 games. The lack of depth showed on the Suns. People might, I don't even want people to try to make the excuse. I don't think it's that much people have tried it, but all right, Chris Paul was getting cooked. All right. Now, if you think Chris Paul could have had a game, maybe, but campaign basically gave them niggas a game. Right, he was there. DeAndre Ayton didn't play in game 6, but that nigga was getting eaten up every day. That was free lunch for Jokic. That shit was crazy. I didn't even see Jokic score this much. Like, usually Jokic be chilling, bro. Like, if Murray is cooking, he's like, yeah, let him cook. But Jokic... Okay, just like, yeah, no, nobody's cooking. Ugh, fuck it. Give me the spatula. Well, let's flip this shit up. That nigga draw 50 points. Alright? Think about it. How many 50-point games does Jokic... Oh, he didn't even score 50. What the fuck did he score against the Suns? Let he drop 50. 2023. Okay, I guess it doesn't count playoffs in StatMuse. Nuggets. It was a game the Nuggets lost, even though he dropped that much. Nuggets versus Suns, game 3, I believe. Nah. Was it game 4? Yeah, it was a closer game. Yeah, no, he dropped 53. Alright, so I wasn't tripping. Let me type in playoff games. So he's only had one 50-point game in general, he's only had one 50-point game, exactly 50, in regular season. And then he had his second one in the playoffs, trying to bring his team the victory. All right, I'm just saying. So, I'm just glad. I feel like Jokic is getting his canuppance, especially what happened on the other side of the conference. But we'll get to that Cameroonian fraud later. All right. Trying to rev up a few people's engine before we even get to the East. But I don't know. The series went basically how I expected it for the most part. I don't know if I said in six. Okay, I'll say this. I didn't expect the Suns to get blown out in game six. Like, they got blown out in game seven versus Luka. I didn't expect that. But at the same time, I feel like in this NBA, blowouts are more present. Like, I feel like nowadays more than ever, you see more teams get blown out. And that's just because of the offensive efficiency. So, like, if a team gets on a roll and you can't either keep up or stop them, you're basically out of the game. And sometimes it makes for very, like, unentertaining basketball. But I feel like every single one of these games in the Suns series, besides, like, the first one and the last one, obviously, other games just really were, like, close enough. I don't think Game 5 was that close either, actually. Game 5. Yeah, it wasn't that close either. But I don't know, man. It's just, even Game 2, I think, it was kind of wrapped up by the second half, wasn't it? Or, like, around the, like by the end of third quarter. It wasn't like you went into fourth quarter assuming that Nuggets were going to lose. Or, actually, no, it's pretty good in the third quarter. Yeah, I think the Nuggets, after the third quarter had ended, might have actually been down. Yeah, they were down a few going into it, and then they just beat them by 13 points in this fourth quarter and just ended it there. It was a low-scoring game, but that's what I'm saying. I feel like, especially because all the games are high-scoring, if you can't keep up, then you're basically out. Luckily, the Nuggets have a high-powered offense, so it was fine for this series. However, that might not be so true for next time. Let's talk about the other side of the West. Warriors versus Lakers. Again, I already knew that the Lakers had a chance, and maybe if I wasn't biased against the Lakers, I would have picked the Lakers. But I am, so fuck them niggas. Alright? I'm not gonna hide it. I'm biased. That's fine. That's okay. And with that comes responsibility. So if I pick with my bias, I'm gonna take that out. Alright? I'm 3-1 in the second round. I think in total, I think I missed two in the first round. I missed the Bucks. Then I got the Celtics right. Oh, I missed the Cavs. I missed three last time. I might have went 3-3. No, because there was four teams in each that could have won. So I went 5-3. Because I missed the Cavs, I missed the Bucks, I missed the Grizzlies versus the Lakers, but I think I got everything else right. I didn't pick the Clippers. Yeah, 5-3. And then with that, my new record would be 8-2. I'm not counting the games, bro. Fuck the games predicted. But my new record would be 8-2. Wait, I did not do that right at all. 3-8. I added that one, but I think I subtracted for the other one. Wow. Yeah, 8-4. And look, man, I'm telling you right now, this one, it's only going up. All right. We are not getting that BS matchup again. All right. This is where the timeline shifts. We are not going to get Lakers versus Heat again. All right. But first, we'll talk about this. Okay. All right. Now, the Lakers versus the Warriors. I feel like if Warriors didn't blow game one, they would have had a better chance in this series. I thought Klay would be good for at least two games. Only one. He had one. And Jordan Poole underperformed even more than I thought he would. Or like more than I calculated. But he had one solid game. Unfortunately, that was game one. The best game you got from Jordan Poole was game one. And who knows if him taking that shot ruined it. I don't know if I mentioned this last podcast. I didn't have an issue with him taking the shot. I just wish he'd gotten a better shot for himself. Because I don't think, like, he couldn't have gotten a better shot. There was plenty of time on the shot clock. I felt like he could have pump faked the Vando who was rushing out, who literally leaped in front of him, taking a step closer to the left and then taking the shot. I don't know. Taking a step to the right, let Vando fly by. It was okay, sure, in rhythm. But the way Jordan Poole's base for his shot is, it doesn't feel like he's... It felt like, if you look, he doesn't have, like, a shot base like Steph, where it looks like he's always kind of, like, stepping into it. He looks nice and controlled. It's closer to, like, how I felt like Klay's was, especially this series. But even the King series, where he was just, like, and we can move over to Klay, but... You just shot. I felt like this nigga was just like, fuck it, I'll shoot. Like, get the ball. Fuck it, I'll shoot. I was like, why do you keep doing that, man? It doesn't even feel like you're looking at the rim when you're shooting. You just feel like you're throwing them bitches up there. And I will say, like, before, during the, in the previous seasons, like, even if Klay was bad, because I felt like Klay does similar things, for example, to James Harden. Well, James Harden will have, like, two very great games or some shit. And niggas only remember that for Klay specifically because he was on a winning team and he was in the number one option. But if you really look down, like, during the 2016 playoffs, it was like Klay was a lot of help. The 2015 joint, if you look at the averages, Klay didn't average that much. And then now, he doesn't have the defense that come with it. Like, I don't know why he never made an all-defensive team, but Klay should have made an all-defensive team, but he never made an all-defensive team. But he had all-defensive type defense. Arguably, you might have even put him in the first team in some years. He's not that anymore. So now, to an extent, people can hunt Klay. And if that's the case, if he's not hitting his shot, then why is he on the floor? Because arguably, if I can say Dante DiVincenzo can play arguably better defense than Klay, while providing at least more dribble capabilities, then I might have to argue that put DiVincenzo on the floor. I don't know. Maybe even put Jordan Poole on there then instead, and then have like him. But since he's not playing, since I don't know, dog, it's just so dumb. It just didn't make any sense to me. It was like, it was nothing you could do, but it was like throughout the entirety of the year, you could see Klay being inconsistent. You were hoping that maybe by the playoffs, he caught some sort of, nope. The reasons, and like, that was the thing. Steph Curry had to have a monster game, really, for them to really stay in if nobody else was there to help him. The only games that they won was Draymond plus bad AD performance game. A good Draymond defensive versus bad AD performance game. And a game where Draymond dropped 20 points, I think. And if Draymond's dropping 20 and Steph's cooking, then y'all niggas gonna do good. But that's the thing. You can't always... It was like they didn't have any sort of depth. And it just sucked to like... To really be able to really say, oh yeah, Draymond might be the second best player on the Warriors. And to like look throughout the entirety of the Warriors and be confused and all that. It was, I don't know. The Warriors definitely disappointed. It was a disappointment that you could see all season. And as being a hater for the Lakers this year, I didn't care about getting the Laker predictions right. I think Lakers was the best team in the West, maybe even the best team in the NBA after the trade deadline. And I've constantly recognized them having depth and the fact that they gained a majority of depth off of some bullshit for some reason. Where Rui was only a second-round pick, which I was like, oh, that's weird, but fuck it. Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, and D'Lo was basically given for a first pick and a second pick. And that's where I'm like, just D'Lo should be a first pick. Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt should be another first pick. What the fuck? And all that, and they gave up Russ, and you're what? Like, I get it. I kind of get it, like, okay. Sure, the Lakers wanted to get rid of Russ. The Utah Jazz wanted another first-round pick. And the Timberwolves weren't going to pay D'Angelo Russell. So they decided if we get off of him now for Mike Conley, our season might end better? I'll say that, like... The worst person for this trade was the Timberwolves. I don't know why the fuck they did it. Season might end better, so we pick up Mike Conley. I don't know if it's worth it. What do you mean your season might end better? You weren't going anywhere. And to be fair, I said that about the Sacramento last year, but at least they're keeping Sabonis, so it made more sense. Said that about Sacramento last year, about why the fuck are you, how does this trade help you now? And then I was proven wrong, mostly because they ended up getting the shooters they needed. However, whatever, I'll take the L, but it's like, now I'm pretty sure you're going to still lose Mike Conley. You still have Rudy Gobert in your team, who takes up a good amount. Ant's going to end up getting a max. Then you still have Cat that you're going to end up having to re-sign. Like, what am I missing here? You don't have any cap space for D'Lo. I understand. But I don't... Where do you go from an upgrade from Mike Conley now, then? I don't know. It's just that franchise doesn't have a destination anymore besides trying to get off of Rudy Gobert and or Karl-Anthony Towns. Maybe because you might need to just get off of both. So, I don't know. I'm definitely going to keep this pettiness against the Lakers. I'm okay. I'm cool with Lakers-Celtics finals, though. So... I think the Lakers-Celtics finals was a top three finals for me. And then the Nuggets 76ers finals was a top three finals for me. Just because of narrative based for those. So I didn't really mind for that. For those two to happen, if it does happen, no matter how all my picks. I do like a Nuggets-Celtics finals because Jaylen Brown was throwing a little shit there. And after we got blown out when the Celtics went to the Nuggets, to Denver, saying, well, they don't got to see us anymore. And I was like, yeah, I agree. But, like, you know, chill out, bro. They them. But the... And this is what I'm about to talk about now. There's nothing more to talk about the Warriors-Lakers series. It's just the Lakers really won. It seems that LeBron is going to probably need after-season surgery for his foot. So that's going to be interesting. But getting on for the next matchup, then I'll talk about the East. Nuggets versus Lakers is going to be interesting. There was a certain thing that the 76ers did on the Nuggets in order to negate the passing ability of Jokic. And that was to put P.J. Tucker on Jokic. I also heard somebody else say it. I don't know if it was Tim Legler or somebody else. But they also alluded to Anthony Davis not playing all the minutes or even a majority of the minutes on Jokic. And that is because Jokic might get him into foul trouble. And that... It would pull Anthony Davis too far out. And because of that, what the 76ers did in order to stop the lane or keep Embiid in the lanes was they put P.J. Tucker on Jokic and let him get out there. With that, Embiid could help if Jokic came down, as well as Embiid and P.J. Tucker being there if they're doing a shortcut to Aaron Gordon. Additionally, because I'm pretty sure Embiid would be playing off of Aaron Gordon in that set. And then additionally, what also helped was that it just clogged up the lanes. And I feel like the Lakers have that, and Vando and LeBron can argue Wendon Gabriel could probably put him there and he can help. The Lakers have that. And then AD can just sit, paint, and whatnot. So it's a very interesting matchup because of that. The Lakers, especially after the trade deadline, gained damn near the best pieces that they need to go against anybody in the West. Because the West isn't like, it doesn't feel as loaded with just pure talent as the East was in both talent and depth. The West is set. It felt like all the teams either had depth or they had talent. The only team that felt like it had both, besides the Nuggets, was the Clippers. But they can't be healthy for a damn. So it was just weird. My fault. I'm sending a text. I don't know. On the Nuggets side, the Warriors did something interesting where they were still able to make AD, force AD up. I mean, and also, by the way, the Lakers can also have LeBron stand in as a shot blocker in some cases, so it's also like they have both, and that's what they kind of did for the Warriors, where both LeBron and AD were kind of back there until the Warriors were all like, yeah, let's put the ball in Steph's hand and make AD come up and defend these screens, for real. I think on the Nuggets side, for at least the defense, me and my friend were talking about it. The Nuggets don't have any great defender. They just have a bunch of good perimeter defenders. And against the Lakers' size, like pure girth and everything, although like the Nuggets have the biggest person on the floor, I don't know if they have the strength to purely match up against a LeBron James if he's driving enough. Obviously, that foot fracture means a lot, so we'll have to see whether or not he's going to keep on settling for threes. That 30-point game showed that he can do it every now and then, but whether how willing he is and how often it is definitely going to be shown. Anthony Davis being kind of wishy-washy in terms of consistency as well, that's also going to matter. So it's really going to be, can the Nuggets sustain against the Lakers defense long enough to make their offensive firepowers run a little bit short, as well as the guards that let LeBron James and Anthony Davis rest a bit, is that going to be stopped? Are the Nuggets going to be able to rebound well enough to where Anthony Davis is not a monster on the board? I can see this going 7 games. I'm going to pick Nuggets in 6, though, just because I can't see the Nuggets losing at home. I felt like for both other teams, they lost at home to the Lakers. And I wasn't expecting that with the Warriors as much. I can't say I wasn't expecting that completely with the Grizzlies, especially the fact of them not having Steven Adams or Brandon Clark. However, Warriors, I was definitely surprised that they lost game one at least. I thought that they would have been a little bit more ready for that. They weren't. That's just how the cookie crumbles. But the Nuggets should have enough to sustain over them. And if you're telling me that Jokic is going to be able to eat, and he, because like this is not the same Jokic as before, because now you're telling me, all right, if we have AD camp out, Jokic is going to have to be guarded by someone who's small. I feel like Jokic can eat on will be able to eat enough. And if you're telling me that I have to rely on literally three in KCP, Jamal Murray, or Michael Porter Jr., or honestly, you have Aaron Gordon, and we still haven't had a Jeff Green game. You know, Jeff Green give you a game every now and then. If not, he might just have a dunk party. So it's just like, the Nuggets feel like they have too many, even if they are quote-unquote smaller weapons, and the Laker weapons just aren't consistent or even like that strong in the sense of like, I think max AD might give me is a 35-point game. I don't see either of them dropping 40s. And if that's the case, all right, I believe in the Nuggets defense for the most part against the Lakers guards. Maybe not Austin Reeves, but I feel like the other guards are more perimeter-oriented, while Austin Reeves is their only guard that is really going to, I feel like, make an effort to take it to the paint. And he's going to draw fouls and do whatnot, but I feel like all the other Laker guards are just going to be more, I want to take shots, like shoot, whether it is from the mid-range or from three-point. So I'm not too scared of that. I think Rui might also have a good chance because he'll be also a little bit in the paint more. However, I also feel like he's also more of a finesse shot maker, taker type player than a pure take it to the hole. And so for those types of guys, the Nuggets actually have the bodies for the most part. But if you're going to take it to the hole and that's where they have their weakness and that's where the Lakers are their strengths, it can go either way, but I'm choosing Nuggets in 6. Specifically, the 6 is because of the hate. If it wasn't for the bias, I would still have Nuggets in 7 in my opinion, but yeah. Going over to the East, we'll talk about the Knicks and the Heat series. Like I said, I was higher on the Heat coming into the entire playoffs and like even a lot of Heat fans. fault. Yeah, nah. One of my friends is saying we should watch it because, yo, this is the only podcast for it that's going to be just in time, all right? This one's going to be just in time NBA predictions. You feel me? Da. Meet halfway. Oh, my gosh. This guy really want to hang out. I mean, I don't mind it. I kind of do want to go and grab some food, but let's... Damn, bro. Niggas gonna listen to this. I'm gonna get the big text. let's fucking... We'll push on. I'm trying to think. Where was I at? Where did I end up off? Oh, actually, we're just moving into the East. The Knicks versus the Heat. I didn't have an issue with it. Like, I was high on the Heat coming into the series in general. Jimmy getting that ankle injury definitely was like, But Julius Randle already had it. However, I'll be honest, I wasn't high on Julius Randle against the Heat defense if he wasn't even going to be good against the Hawks defense, to be honest. So, I didn't really care for that. For me, particularly, it was more about how Jalen Brunson, Emmanuel Quickly, and more how the guards were going to be able to play. Jalen Brunson did good. Can't say too much about the other guards. However, it basically played out how I thought. I didn't watch too much of this series. However, I figured the Heat were going to be the winners ultimately. I think how... What bothered me was I heard two things, and it was both about Julius Randle. The first thing is that I heard that there were games in against the Cavs where if Julius Randle did bad, but the Knicks won, he was still acting like a dickhead. Like he cared more about them winning than him. And I think it was the game where he got sacked for Obi Toppin. He cares more about his stuff than them winning. I don't know how true this is. However, I definitely know he was not happy about getting sacked and then them winning. So that's one thing. And then him saying, I guess they wanted it more. And I know he was talking about like the offensive rebounds and what that stat typically means and stuff. However, I feel like the concession of you just saying they wanted it more is just crazy to me, especially when people can go and look at that and pull up clips, literal like just multiple instances where it'll be his fault for losing the ball. He won't get back, or he just in general won't get back into a play where there'll be multiple like contests and whatever, but they're able to keep on resetting because he's just out there. So they're continuously playing against a 5-on-4. I seen them play a 5-on-4 for almost a minute before you even see Julius Randle somewhat come into frame, and then the Heat score. So it's like you saying that is already a bad look, but you saying that when it was you that what wasn't giving in the effort is a terrible look. And that's what I'll say. Julian Brunson surprised me like he did in general. I think that 41 piece in that last game was definitely telling. He signifies the Knicks are going to continue to be a playoff team. However, it does show that there's a bottle cap, where Jalen Brunson is probably at best a second best player. Maybe you can argue him for a 1B category. Maybe, but I wouldn't do it. I would say he's just a good second best player of a team. The Knicks as a team, I don't think they have too much that they can do they have picks in this season, especially after they traded their picks for that last draft. I don't know if any of the teams that they got picks from are going to be low enough for it to matter. I also don't know how good the draft class is. I feel as though they're going to need another scorer, especially if they get rid of Julius Randle. Probably I'd prefer either a center or a four, like another wing with RJ Barrett, where he's a little bit better as a defender, just so you guys have that, or he's just a crazy scoring threat. But either way, he has to be a scoring threat. He doesn't have to be a number one, but if he can be a number three to a number two in type in scoring threat and be another good to great defender on the Knicks, I think they can get better, but I think they're kind of tapped out where they're at with Randall. For the Heat, kind of did what I expected. Shot good from three. Hustle, did what they had to do. Now they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. We're going to talk about the Celtics versus the 76ers. For the Celtics and 76ers, Celtics losing game one definitely gave me panic. And I didn't know game. I didn't know. Apparently, James Harden always go crazy in game ones. And he shits the bed for the rest of it. Well, actually, he also does good in game fours. So, but those elimination games, that's a rough one. And look, I know Joel Embiid was injured. But, and this is what I've been calling for Joe Mazzulla to fucking do for a while. I was like, why did our defense get magically worse? Oh, it's because he values the offense just running immaculately versus the defense running immaculately. In the sense where Robert Williams wasn't getting as much play and he wasn't getting the adequate defensive run in order to really like hinder a Joel Embiid. Especially since Joel Embiid was more willing to run the ball into the rim. And then especially with the addition of kind of collapsing the defense more whenever Joel Embiid had the ball. Because we have athletes that can run out and still guard. I think Grant Williams also had less time by the end of it. But obviously that's because you're putting in Robert Williams instead. And it just shows that we also needed that like rolling target to the rim to kind of keep that rim pressure up, because it just wasn't the best when you have PJ Tucker on the wing against a Jason Tatum and a Jaylen Brown against our wing defenders, as he can kind of like get our wing attackers, he kind of do that pretty well. After Rob Will was put in the starting lineup for that defense, it was definitely a change. Game six, they climbed back up, or the 76ers came back out, because at first it was looking like we were just going to steamroll them in game six. But they came back up, and Jason Tatum had been playing pretty bad for the entirety of the series, if not just terrible. And at the end of game six, that nigga just started pulling up. I was like, hey, yo. And he wasn't even doing I felt like he was getting better shots in like earlier games or just earlier possessions. And he was just missing them. But then this nigga was like, fuck it. I'm going to turn it on. Scored 12 points in that fourth quarter. And got his point total up from like 2 to like 14 or some shit. And then that nigga stayed the him. He stayed the course in the game seven. He said, fuck it, I'm gonna continue where I left off. Alright, I'm one of the best players in the game. I felt like he just had to remind himself who he was. It was like when KD was all like, do you know who I am? I'm Kevin Durant. Alright. So that I like those moments. All right, it definitely made me love Tatum a little bit more. I did the Himothy thing, copied B Souls. Again, I don't think Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown is better than Jason Tatum. I do think that they're closer, some, especially in a lot of different terms than what people make it seem, but I definitely can say that there is a weird thing where Jaylen Brown might over dribble a little bit, and I don't think, and Jason Tatum is a little bit, he doesn't over dribble. He kind of just has more of like a set sort of moves. Like, it was funny. Like, that spin move that he hit in Game 7, I'm pretty sure, I remember him trying it. I think it was either in Game 5 or it was in one of the earlier games. He tried it and he missed it. And I was like, dog, that, why'd you do that? And then he did that in Game 7. I seen that. I saw it, like, foot by foot, him doing it. I was like, yo, wait. He got Tobias Harris this time. He got him on the other side because Tobias Harris went around. He did the, he just got it up there. I was like, hey, yo. He said, this is what the move can really do when you get niggas with it. I was like, all right, you got it, Tatum, I got it. So he definitely won me over a little bit more. Because I've always been the thing where it's like, defensively and offensively, he just doesn't have that consistency in the playoffs that much. And it just, I don't know. I never understood why. I don't know if it was like defensive coverages or what. It just wasn't there. So I was just glad to see that really come into its own. I hope you can keep that up because we're going to need it against the Heat. All right. But, yeah. Going into that series. Now, I would argue that in terms of defense, they're pretty even, but I would give it to the Celtics. I felt like Robert Williams could be used in the game against the Sixers. I don't think Bam is that much of an offensive threat where you might want to have a Horford and a Robert Williams in at the same time. I think you can stagger their minutes and still be pretty fine for this series. I think what you're going to want to do is, ooh, wow. Do you want to put Jason Tatum against Jimmy Butler? Or do you want to put Jaylen Brown on Jimmy Butler? Arguably, you can rotate the defenders, and that's because they don't have as many threats as I felt like you had on the 76ers, where there was a Maxey that might go off. There was even a Tobias Harris that could hold his own if you really put it in. There was a Harden. While you really just have to worry, if you're gonna have a defensive attention, you're only gonna really have to worry about Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry. To an extent. And in my opinion, I feel like the Celtics should be able to handle that. No, I think the only thing would be the Heat's hustle. And that's going to, and with the worry of the Celtics is that they kind of get lackadaisical. So, and that was shown even in last year's playoffs and everything. So if I'm saying that, so going off that, I have Celtics in 7. This is a go anyway series. However, I'm much more comfortable with picking the Celtics and leaning with the Celtics either way. Like, I could honestly argue Celtics in 6 more than I can argue Heat in like 7, in my opinion. I feel like those are hard, a similar chance. I think it was dumb. ESPN did the little 3% chance that Heat win. And it's weird because I've only seen them do this when the Celtics are on the other side. So I don't know what the fuck that type of glaze is for. But I've never seen them have those like Like, nigga, there's a whole Warrior, there's a whole Nuggets and Lakers series. I didn't see that shit pop up once. So I guess they only pop it up if their thing says there's a remarkable difference. The fuck? Whatever, man. I'm not going to let them niggas use that shit to fucking denote us. All right. Jimmy Buckets. I believe in you, but I don't believe in your transition threes, nigga. You went crazy on the Bucks. They ain't put Giannis on you. We're gonna put all them defenders on you. We're gonna see what you can do. Alright. Now to close out the show. I think I got some. Let's talk about Ja. Keep it NBA actually. Just keep it NBA. Let's talk about Ja. Ja Morant recently was. His friend went on Instagram Live. And, you know, they were just bumping NBA Youngboy in the car. You know, nothing bad. Friend flashes the phone at Ja, puts it on himself. You see the friend dancing, makes finger guns. So putting the gun up in the air, he dancing, having a good time. Flashes the phone back at Ja. Ja pulls up the gun. Now, I didn't look too deeply at it. There were some people that said, oh, it looked like the friend knew Ja had the gun out and then showed him. And then some people were all like, it looked like. I'm trying to remember. It looked like he didn't know, and that's why he moved the phone immediately as quickly as possible once he realized Ja had the gun. And it actually looked like Ja pulled the gun out after he did the look, just from the framing of how he lifted the gun up. Now, I don't know. I don't think the friend was trying to set him up, because I'm like, nigga, to an extent, that's your bag too. That'd be weird. I don't know how close they are, or that's a new friend or whatever, but that's just weird. I feel like that one is a little bit more of a harder jump to make than he just didn't know. Other people's argument against the friend is, why was he on live? And as dumb it is to say, that is this generation in which people are just going to be on live, post up, make videos and do all that and document their lives, and you just can't stop it in some parts. But going back to the Ja conversation, there was a huge thing that people are doing where it's like, is Ja wrong? Or what, is there an issue, or is Ja wrong? Now, there is an issue and Ja is wrong, but he's not morally or illegally wrong. And that's what people are trying to make the thing about, because I don't know. It's not like that. I feel like people who are doing it to an extent were doing it in bad faith. But the reason why they're acting in such bad faith is because there's also a lot of fucking coons. There's a lot of Uncle Toms out here who kind of went above and beyond with it too. Whereas like they were basically being like perpetuating self-racism in their descriptions of how Josh should go about it. And I was like, that's like, I get it. But come on, bro. Because it wasn't a racial thing as much, in my opinion. Like, people were trying to make the argument where it was like, oh yeah, if a white person had a gun for hunting, they wouldn't care. Guess what? Alright, Keldon Johnson, who was a black person on the Spurs, actually does have a hunting picture, and he didn't get suspended. It is the act of and the manner of which it was done with the context. Can we stop being fucking idiots? Like, can we stop being dishonest? Not idiots, dishonest. I understand that there are some other idiots on the other side that were basically just being coons. But just because they're coons doesn't mean you have to be one too. All right. Let's just be honest. All right. Just because they're a coon doesn't mean you have to be one too. Also, this is a side thing. I'm going to get back to the job conversation, but Howard Stern says black NBA players ignores him at Knicks games. The black players won't come over and say hello to me, but they go over to Spike Lee. I grew up in a black neighborhood, you know? You know what I mean? I mean, they should know that, but I get ignored. My guy. Do you know how old niggas are in the league? Why would they? I don't really know this Howard Stern nigga. He's a radio head. You think niggas in the league listen to the radio with it that much? Like, bro. Like, you weren't even in any consistent shows or anything. Like, and you said just, like, how many people in your neighborhood made it to the NBA, bucko? What are you talking about? Black players don't come up to you. Yes, they don't. They don't know you. They don't know you, little bro. They don't know you. Oh shit. I didn't even know. But he had a blackface sketch in 1993, I guess. Like, it's just, I don't know, that's just crazy to me. Howard Stern. Wow. But and I get packed up, bucko. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. Get packed up, bucko. Get packed up. But yeah, no, Jaws just doesn't make any sense. And be a young boy, not even like that for real, but okay. You know that nigga made a song where he was dissing, like, fuck the industry, and he dissed J. Cole because J. Cole wanted to meet with him in a studio. He agreed. And then J. Cole waited there for apparently over at least 8 hours, if not more. And NBA Youngboy was all like, oh, I was feeling off that day, and fuck, I look like going somewhere where I know I'm gonna have to talk to people when I know I don't want to talk to nobody, and I know and do stuff when I know I don't want to do anything, and I'm going through some stuff. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Could have just told that nigga, and he wouldn't have waited on you for over 8 hours. And I don't understand why the onus is on him to really want to meet up with you again after you... Nigga, like, wait, what did Ye say? Find God. The fuck? Like, I don't know, man. NBA Youngboy really... That nigga look like that corn nigga, like, if he didn't have guns. That's what NBA Youngboy would be. Like, that nigga, don't know... He don't look like he know how to fight. He don't look like he like that for real. Like, I think guns and the internet might be making niggas really feel like they fake gangsters and they can do anything. Like, with them both. Because I don't know what the fuck, like, this nigga saying fuck the industry. He don't know he basically an industry player. Like, this nigga drops 3 albums every fucking year and barely reaches the fucking sales of niggas that drop 1 album. In 3 years. Like, I don't understand, bro. Now look, man, I don't know ball, man. I'm not gangster for real. I'm just saying. And that's the nigga job bumping. I don't understand. I don't understand why niggas got a coat for him. Niggas got a cape. Niggas gotta do all this shit. We don't. It's simple. However, I'm not going to. I'm not going to. So, I'm just chilling. Like I said, I'm not with the racial component or rhetoric with it. Who's Catherine Fletcher? Who are some of these people? Let me see who both studied. Other mutual connections. Okay, well, wait. Mutual. Oh, shit. Do I have to censor that name out? Fuck. I guess I shouldn't be multitasking like this, huh? I don't know. I don't... I'm not really about the, I think there's going to be like around a 30 game suspension, give or take. I don't think there's going to be much more than that, if any more. Yeah, I think it'll be less than 30 games, but probably more than like 15 to 20. Yeah, probably more than 20, honestly. I don't know. I don't know, man. It was just dumb luck. Maybe he didn't realize that the camera is on, but it's like, why the fuck do you need to dance around with a gun? Like, why don't you just make the finger gun? Who in that car did you need to show the gun to if the camera wasn't on? And for the most part, you knew the live was going on. So why would you pull out a gun in the middle of a live? And niggas trying to be like, oh yeah, you don't know if the gun was loaded, and you don't know if the gun wasn't. But you think, but I'm gonna ask niggas this: are niggas carrying around unloaded guns? If niggas is fake gangster, you think that, I don't care if safety's on, is niggas carrying around unloaded guns? Because if not, then you shouldn't be having a gun pointed at your fucking head. Can we be serious? What the fuck, bro? I don't know, niggas. There's no caping. There's no excuse for Cha. And it's just sad. It's a player I really like. Always really liked him. I was literally saying he's literally probably going to be a smarter Russell Westbrook. And honestly, I don't know. The way that nigga was trying to dunk on AD and then LeBron and just getting himself fucking hurt. Don't know if I can say smarter. Like, I was thinking more basketball IQ smarter when I said that, but you know that this situation, I don't know about smarter in any ways, because Westbrook actually grew up around niggas that gangsters. Alright? I've seen that man crip walk. Alright? I know his pedigree. And I'm not saying John Morant didn't. When you look up his stuff, he did not come from a private school. The part of Carolina that he was on is also But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think there's not much to be said. I feel like the Ja conversation in general is a lot, like, shorter than it needed to be. In many accounts, I think it was a lot more people were just disappointed. in it. People said, yeah, why are you pogging to an extent? The niggas who are like disappointed and want to see it. I like some niggas is just like, you can argue it might be pocket watching to an extent because he's still going to be able to play in the NBA and he's still going to get a big bag. But it's like, all right, Dennis Schroeder is still playing in the NBA and getting a big bag. But I remember everybody fucking clowned on him when he didn't take the Lakers contract. He ended up having to go and sign places for minimums. Like, I don't, there's just no, like, you can, like, we don't want to, and Jaws' case, it's like sad. Like, we don't want to laugh at him for doing something stupid that was so preventable. And that's just it. Guess that put it a little bleaker on the ending there, but that was just talking podcast. You know, wait. You know, let me find a little bit of something. All right, to just some little bit out of context thing. All right. This is what somebody was saying about the Ja Morant thing, but that's all the context I'm gonna give you.
That's a deep throw. If what I'm doing is licking the tip, you niggas are gargling balls. That's all I'm saying.
You heard that? He said if all he's doing is licking the tip, then you guys are gargling balls. And what he meant in that is that the people who are going too far with some of the Ja Morant takes, or the people who are pocket watching him to the point where it's just like, oh, you're just worried about his brand and advertise and all that, then you're basically sucking just as much, even though he's defending Ja. His defense is, we don't know all the facts. Conduct detrimental is technically is not an objective rule, but a subjective rule to the point where the commissioner gets to decide what deems conduct detrimental is. However, there's obviously, and the Grizzlies didn't officially suspend him, they suspended him preemptively for the league as they did last time so they can try and minimize the punishment because they're like, oh yeah, since we got out in front of it, like, you don't gotta suspend him for that long. However, this is gonna affect him in the long run. It already affected him because now he's not eligible for a Supermax. And that's what this guy was saying. You pocket watch him to the point where a Max versus a Supermax matters. And arguably, you can say, well, if Ja doesn't get the Supermax, they have a better chance of being able to build a team around him. So, hey, there's pluses and minuses everywhere. But like I said, I'm just talking, man.
That's a deep throw. If what I'm doing is licking the tip, you niggas are gargling balls. That's all I'm saying.
That was the Just Talking Podcast.